We've been updating you all week on the takeaway about the violence and the protests going on in Tunisia. Today, thousands of demonstrators gathered in the Tunisian capital, and they're calling for President Zine al-Abidine Ben Ali to step down. The protests started over staggering unemployment, and many people are saying that this could be the first wiki revolution. What does that mean? Well, to explain, we have Ian Black with us. He's the Middle East editor for the Guardian newspaper, and he joins us from his home in London. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. Hi.
I'm doing well. To call this the first wiki revolution would suggest that the people of Tunisia were outraged by details that were revealed about corruption in the government of Tunisia in the WikiLeaks documents that were released. Is that accurate?
Well, I think it may be a bit of an overstatement, but what's really interesting here is this is a very significant wave of mass protest in one of the most repressive countries in the Arab world. Tunisia, a small country in North Africa, supported by the West, pretty much a dictatorship. Part of the WikiLeaks story, one of the revelations at the end of last year, was a cable written by the U.S. ambassador to Tunisia, which gave a devastatingly frank account of this country, of the corruption of its leadership, of the unpopularity, particularly of the president's family, of nepotism, of conspicuous consumption, of a system which didn't listen to complaints about it and basically relied on repression. That had a huge impact, particularly in the Middle East. It was very, very widely read. Now, Tunisians probably knew most of that stuff, but to read it in a very well-written document, a secret document written by an American ambassador, obviously opened some eyes and made people think, my goodness, people do understand in the wider world quite how bad things are here. And some people say that this has had an effect on the mood in Tunisia and perhaps fed into this current unrest. That's the story. Is it a WikiLeaks revolution? Myself, I think it's overstating it.
Well, we'll just have to.
Very interesting phenomenon.
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, at the very least, it causes, Ian Black, people in Tunisia to think there's no cavalry in the form of the U.S. government coming to rescue this government should they get in trouble. I've spent a bunch of time in Tunisia, and you've spent a lot more. I've always been struck that even though the place is a dictatorship, there's always been a very candid undercurrent of dissatisfaction over the public institutions, and that while people maybe aren't protesting in the streets, in my experience, there's a sense of voltage directly under the surface. Is that your experience?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think these things are widely known. But at the end of the day, if the system doesn't budge and people don't dare speak out, then the system is going to remain in place. And what we're seeing now is a new mood, emboldened by these protests, emboldened perhaps to some extent by rare Western criticism. We had Hillary Clinton being critical about this just yesterday, and perhaps a sense that things can change. There's already been a huge concession. Ben Ali has said that he won't stand for yet another presidential term. So this idea that presidents are always for life has taken a blow. Now we see today it's a very fast-moving event, and I'm watching and listening to reports from there, from my colleague from The Guardian who is in Tunis. It may be that he won't be able to resist pressure to resign immediately. That would be a tremendous change, not only for this individual country, but in a part of the world where political change doesn't usually happen because of mass protests. That's the novelty here.
And I gather from the reports of analysts who spent time in Tunisia that the reason they feel like this could actually be the possibility for a significant governmental change is that there has been no abatement in protests, despite a number of gestures from the government, despite the fact that police are firing on the crowds there, despite 23 dead. Well, it could be more than that. Despite the fact that the president has stepped down. If he does step down, though, at the end of his term, that's not till 2014, and it sounds as though the protesters are not happy with that.
I think it's the, is it not the 14th of January today?
Yes.
Or yesterday, perhaps. Yeah, I mean, I saw somebody saying, look, don't wait till 2014, go on the 14th of January, go now. And clearly what's happening is a sense of mounting expectations. The government has made concessions. It's talked about pumping money into deprived areas, of allowing greater freedoms. And the president, who, by the way, Ben Ali, there's an easy pun in French. A lot of Tunisians speak French. And they go from Ben Ali to Ben Avi, president for life. Mm. He's suddenly no longer president for life. He's conceded that. It may be that it won't be possible. I would have thought not at this stage to imagine that he can hold on till 2014. In the context of this repressive regime, that's already a big step. And a regime that has made that kind of concession may well be forced to make a lot more.
Although Ian Black of the Guardian newspaper, Ben Ali is one member, granted the president, but he's one member of a family, what was described in the State Department cables as the family, which is, they describe, a mafia-esque elite that rules as a regime. His stepping down doesn't necessarily mean major governmental change.
Well, it doesn't necessarily, but it is certainly the case that one of the striking things about Tunisia is this hatred and resentment of the presidential family. His wife is a very powerful figure. And in the leaked WikiLeaks document from the American ambassador, there was a particularly vivid description of a dinner the ambassador went to at the home of Ben Ali's son-in-law, the man who's married to the president's daughter, which really did paint a terrible picture of a very, very wealthy lifestyle. There was ice cream that had been flown in, as I recall, from Saint-Tropez in France, and an extraordinary array of expensive foods, and very, very memorably, a pet tiger, which ate four chickens a day. This image of corruption and wealth and untrammeled luxury in a country which has very, very serious problems of employment, particularly of graduates, it was a fairly shocking story. So, yes, there's a family, but it's the family that's really hated. So it'll be really interesting to see how this pans out.
Ian Black is the Middle East editor for The Guardian newspaper, joining us from his home in London. The latest reports coming from the Associated Press is that Tunisian police have fired tear gas on protesters in the capital of Tunis after they climbed atop the roof of the Interior Ministry, which is a symbol of the government, and thousands of demonstrators marched through the capital to demand the resignation of the country's president.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.